Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are rolling through here on a Tuesday. And it ain't just a regular Tuesday. I'll be damned if it is a Texans ticket Tuesday. So that means in the 5 o'clock hour, you have a chance. You have an opportunity to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. All you got to do is be listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 610. And in the 5 o'clock hour, at some point, we will give that cue to call. Tyler will open up the phone lines, and we will hook somebody up with a pair of tickets to Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So stay tuned for that. It will be it's a huge game, clearly. It is a Texans It is a huge game, obviously, with the division and just overall, you don't want to start 0-2. You don't want to lose at home. So big game on Monday Night Football for the Houston Texans. So stay tuned. Your chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen later on in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed it, we'll play a little bit here, but D'Amico in full 4:40. That's coming up next hour, Clint. And I thought there was a couple of interesting comments and things that he was asked and his answers to them. Before we get to the lollygagging comment, I thought it was interesting. Earlier in the presser, he responded to the emotional regulator on the defensive side of the ball. That is Azeez Alshire, and he really went in to talk about it. And then he was asked, who is that person on the offensive side of the ball? Who is the person that is the Azeez Alshire on the offensive side of the ball, the guy that can talk to the group and say anything? Who is that person? Here was his response to that.
It's a whole team, Cam. It's a whole team. I said the one guy that really stands out, and that is Azeez, just for our entire team. I think from a standpoint, we have a lot of young guys, and Azeez is a guy who's seen it in a lot of in different teams. He's been on different multiple teams. He knows how I operate. He knows what, you know, I expect more so than anyone on the team. So he's the guy that I think that our entire team can lean on.
All right, so he decided that he went with
nobody.
With everybody, I think. Everybody, he said.
And when you go everybody, sometimes you go nobody.
Okay, you're going with the two quarterbacks. Huh? Quarters, you got none. All right, and then he actually responded to the lollygagging comments and the practice issues that CJ spoke about on Sunday after the game.
Yeah, it's never an entire group. That's the one thing about it. So there are individuals that have their moments throughout the week, and the lollygagging, it's a term everybody want to use now. It's for me, it's just our tempo, right, in and out of the huddle, right? We got to get in and out of the huddle quicker so we can get to the line of scrimmage so we can operate and make sure we got checks and things we have to make at the line of scrimmage. Well, to make those checks in the proper manner, right, we got to get out with some urgency. So the urgency piece from everybody has to pick up from the offensive side of the ball, right? The urgency picks up, and we'll be able to operate cleaner when it comes to pre-snap and post-snap.
So the offensive side of the ball. And finally, the follow-up was, hey, who is that person that picks up that urgency? This is the second time it feels like he was pressed on. Who is the leadership person on that side of the ball? Here's his response.
So who are you looking at to say, like,
you're looking at
that speed?
You're looking at him. I handle everything. Comes back to me. It's not about me. Oh, I need to talk to a player about doing this or that. We'll get it fixed. It's on me.
All right. Said it's on him. No player. He doesn't look to go to any player. It's on him, Clint. When you listen to that overall, because you came at it yesterday and you said, that's what I've been waiting to hear from C.J. Stroud. That's what I've been waiting to hear. And I said to you, I really am intrigued to hear the response from D'Amico today and how he, because I knew that was going to come up. Shout out to Will Kunkel and the rest of the crew who kind of got him into that answer. Are you surprised by his response to all of that when it comes to offensive guys on the side of the ball? That, to me, that screams leadership and the comments of lollygag.
Look, there's several things here. One, I hate to pat myself on the back, but we've talked about leadership on this show and the lack thereof on the offensive side of the football for the Texans. We've talked about it tenfold more than anybody I've heard in any media outlet. So I hate to say I told you so, but it is not a surprise that the head coach can't, when asked about leadership, when pressed about leadership on the offensive side of the football, twice ends up landing on himself. Like he's the guy, right? Yeah, number one. No, I'm not surprised that there's the answer was a struggle to find, and he ended up landing on himself when he was asked about offensive leadership. Doesn't surprise me one bit. I've talked about C.J. Stroud and whether he does or doesn't have it and needing to – does he have it or does he not? I don't know. We need to take that next step. Nico Collins is a quiet guy that just works hard. He's not going to be the guy. Joe Mixon's nowhere to be found. Your whole offensive line is revamped and has no identity at this point in time. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Number two, why didn't the head coach who has been monitoring the offense every single practice we've been at, has been hovering over the offense and watching the offense, why are we talking about sense of urgency in and out of the huddle after 1 week? Why is your quarterback going to the podium and talking about lollygagging and maybe having a false sense of confidence and not having it working up to a standard and not having the grit to fight through negative plays and things like that? And your head coach, who has watched every single snap damn near, is talking about sense of urgency in and out of the huddle. That seems like a very fundamental offensive football thing. We talk about that in Pee Wee football. There's high school football all over the state of Texas. I know it's great football here in Texas, but there is high school football all over the state of Texas right now that they're preaching. Hey, man, get your ass in and out of the huddle. Let's go. Get to the line of scrimmage. Don't jog to the line of scrimmage. Get to the line of scrimmage. Run, sprint, get in your snap. Get where you're supposed to be. Get lined up, right? Like, you've watched every snap. How is that an issue after week one? How is it being addressed after week one? And number three for me, as you mentioned, Ron, I absolutely loved C.J. Stroud in that post-game press conference, through top to bottom, through and through. Again, listeners, if you ain't heard C.J. Stroud in a post-game presser, go back and listen to it, right? There wasn't no "we'll fix it." There wasn't no – I mean, there, I guess they're eventually – there was some straight real talk in that post-game presser. There was a young quarterback, in my opinion. There was a young quarterback that was kind of coming into his own, that was faced with an opportunity to hold guys accountable, hold his team accountable, hold his unit accountable, and was doing it. And the missed opportunity comes right here where D'Amico Ryans had two choices. One, you walk out there and you go, hey, he's the quarterback. He's in every huddle. He's leading every meeting. Nobody has the pulse of this offense better than C.J. Stroud. If C.J. Stroud says there's lollygagging and there's a grip problem and there's maybe we ain't working up to a standard, then we got to get that right. I'm going to meet with C.J. I'm going to figure out exactly what the hell he's talking about, and me and C.J. are going to lock arms, and we're going to make sure it's never a problem again on this team, right? But instead, you go the route of, oh, nah, man, come on, lollygagging, nah. You go the route of being asked about leadership and you don't mention your quarterback. And I think it was a missed opportunity for D'Amico Ryans to show some togetherness with his quarterback the way he has since he's been with this organization and stood up in every post-game call-up huddle where he's the guy. So I think it's just a missed opportunity. I don't know what ends up coming of it, but I view that situation, Ron, and I'm very passionate about this. It's the first time that I've seen C.J. Stroud do something beyond, I mean, we've seen him play great. Don't get me wrong. We've seen that play part of it. But the part of being a true leader and alpha and taking over a program and becoming the face of an organization, to me, this is the first time that I've heard him in a way of like, well, I'm gonna be a little uncomfortable, but I'm gonna tell you exactly what this is about.
The lollygagging.
And it was a missed opportunity in my opinion, from D'Amico. He could have really stood next to the dude and help push that leadership to another level.
Term everybody want to use now.
YouTube and Twitch, 713-572-4610. What did you think about those comments we played there? He was asked on two different occasions. Basically, did you take it as leadership? These are leadership things. Who's the guy on the offense?
No question.
Two different type of guys. He spoke of Aziz, and I mean, he went glowingly.
Ron, he could have varied. Like, here's the deal. Like, you don't have to compare him to Aziz. You can say, hey, man, look, Aziz is in a league of his own. But offensively, we got you know, CJ Stroud, our young quarterbacks coming. He could have.
But two different times he was pressed. The first time he shrugged it off and said, we got a bunch of guys, and then moved right to Aziz again. The last time he cut off Will and said, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. I see here on the text line, I don't think it was there are no leaders. I took it as he was trying to protect them by saying that the blame is on him and not on the offensive leaders. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I am.
It wasn't, but let's be clear. Let's be clear, though, Ron. Like, he wasn't asked who to blame. Yeah. He simply asked who's the emotional leader on that side of the field?
Who's the guy that you say, hey, yeah, right? And I'm going to say, Clint, I think we learned a lot there in the stuff he said and he didn't and what he didn't say.
Absolutely.
And it may be uncomfortable, but I think we get an understanding of where his mind is. His mind to me clearly is there's no accident when you're asked, who's that guy on the offense for you? I'm shocked that he did it, but they have been joint. It has been, we're going to go as far as we go. It will be behind CJ Stroud. I remember he said that against the Colts that first year they went to the playoffs. He has said it multiple times. As far as we're going to go is through CJ Stroud. And he's one of the leaders, and we've heard him talk about it. Will and CJ, these are the guys that you look at and follow, right? Who's the guy on offense? Not only did he not bring his name up, or hell, anybody's name up, basically what he told you is we don't have that guy right now on offense. Now, maybe it's Joe Mixon that he's injured, but we don't have that guy. This is what he told you. Twice he went by, we don't have that guy right now.
Wow.
I'm glad that's his truth, that's his honesty, but that's what he said. That's basically what he told us. We don't have that guy right now. And he made sure, Tyler, and I know you heard it, to specify on the lollygag and stuff, the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
That was clear. The offensive side of the ball. We have to run up and have a sense of urgency to get to the line of scrimmage. This is stuff they talked about with Bob. You got to run up to the line of scrimmage. On the offensive side of the ball, those guys have to have a sense of urgency. He didn't say as a team.
No hesitation making that designation.
So he not only, to me in this, and maybe I'm hearing something else, but not only did he not agree, he didn't agree with CJ on the full team lollygagging and didn't practice well. He specified that to the offense. And then when posed the question of, well, who is that? Who is that type of guy? Twice. Leadership type questions. It wasn't Titus, wasn't Nico, wasn't CJ, wasn't nobody. Ultimately, hey, it's me, dog. It's me. It was, I think he said a lot. I think he said a lot. Hold on there, show. It's their first game. Yeah, I know it's their first game.
Hold on, show.
It's not their first post-game press conference. It's not their first game. This is CJ's third year. D'Amico's third year. Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, man. That's a
fandom.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is. And that, look, to your point, I think, Ron, I think a good point, you made several good points, but one of them, like, hey, if that's how D'Amico feels, that's all he can say. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, we've been talking about this for 6 months. Like D'Amico can't make somebody be a hold everybody accountable type of player. D'Amico can't walk out there and proclaim that C.J. Stroud or Nick Chubb or Nico Collins is to act to be and act like Azeez Al-Shaair. Like you don't that you don't.
But he did it, Clint, and it wasn't. No. But I'm talking about C.J. did it. What you talk about holding accountable,
right.
And the response to it from him was not, as you said, man, that's our quarterback who is in the huddle running the beat. He was out there. It was, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you this too. And after hearing both guys speak, the film I watched, CJ spot on. I mean, the film I watched, I'm in CJ's court 10 out of 10 times. This wasn't just about urgency out of the huddle. Is that could that a problem? Could that help? Oh, hell yeah, it could. But is that the problem? No. It seems a lot more like what CJ Stroud, what your quarterback's talking about, than just this whole, sense of urgency thing. Which, by the way, I would argue the way that he's been overseeing his offense, he should have had that nipped in the bud mid-camp if that was a problem.
Yeah. Mm. All right, coming up, a little real or fake. It's Tuesday. I pose a question, I pose a statement, and you say if it's real or fake. We'll do that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, a little real or fake coming up in just a second from the text line. Is 610 still Houston sports leader? Ron got y'all sounding like TMZ. Why are you looking to push this narrative? There is nothing there.
Ain't nobody here reporting on the Kardashians.
Listen.
We probably should. There is a sports slant there.
There is. Yeah.
Pretty consistently. Or at least there was at one point.
Reggie Bush. There's Chris Humphrey.
That is the perfect response there. That was tremendous.
I mean, clearly Reggie got the best. Anyway, he's no Ray J. But I've watched Ray J's work with her. Anyway, listen, you can say that we are pushing a narrative. Just saying, man, the guy who I believes he is, if not the leader, one of the strong leaders of the team and leader of the offense, came out and took a space of holding himself and the team accountable and stepped out and said the practice wasn't great. They were lollygagging around, is his words. And then the next day, the coach, who you just heard, seemed to go into a different direction. And when he was asked multiple times about, hey, the leadership on that side of the ball, who's that guy for you? He didn't say anybody, including the guy who I think and believes he's one of the big leaders of this team. And I think CJ is.
The lollygagging.
Now, you can say it's a narrative. I'm just saying that was eye-opening. To hear that they have been right there joint at the hip, and I think still are. This is the first to me, Clint, the first time I've seen, they seem like they may not be completely on the same page. And I don't think that's creating a narrative, but maybe.
Yeah, I don't care what you think. To be honest, not you, just whoever thinks it's a narrative. I mean, it's just the reality of it is you watch, you listen, you respond, and that's my opinions of what we're watching and hearing, and I think to me there's trouble in paradise. I don't think this is just one week. Hey, we can fix it. Everything's fixed. I don't think it is. I think you got some major problems on the offensive side of the football. I think you got some major problems with the leadership on the offensive side of the football, and it appears that. CJ sees it one way and D'Amico sees it a different way. That's just the opinion that I have after watching, listening, and covering the squad. I mean, that's just where I'm at. You can call it what they want. I don't give a rip.
I don't give a mother duck.
That's just what it is.
All right, let's do this a little real or fake. You can jump in and respond as well. I say a statement. You tell me if it's real or fake. Your feelings have changed about the AFC South after week one. Your feelings have changed about the AFC South after week one. Real or fake?
Real. Real. I think any time that the Colts, who I had as the team closest to the Texans in this division, they went out and put up 30-plus points and absolutely dominated the Dolphins. Now, you can argue the Dolphins are falling apart. That's fine. Still a talented team that they kept. What did they end up scoring? Did the Dolphins score a touchdown?
Eight.
They scored eight. There you go.
So
yeah, it was not that close.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think Daniel Jones played well. I think they've always had a above-average supporting cast. And I personally really like their head coach and Shane Steichen, and I like what he does offensively. And so, yeah, I think, yes, that's real. I think my feelings have really changed about the AFC South after 1 week. Now, it's fluid. It can change again after 2 weeks and 3 weeks and wherever next time you check in. But right now, yeah, I'd be lying if I told you that my feelings didn't change a bit about them top two. The Texans negatively, the Colts positively.
Text line coming in with real as well. Tyler, real or fake, your feelings of the AFC South have changed after week one?
I mean, ultimately, maybe, yeah, they changed a little bit, possibly, but if they did, not much. I'm saying no. I try to tell y'all, death taxes and the Duval Jacksonville Jaguars. And, I mean, you got a rookie quarterback in Tennessee. You got what's going on with the Colts. I mean, I don't think you're going to see what you saw against the Dolphins every single week. I think the Dolphins are just a dumpster fire right now. Get things right. AFC South should still be tightly in the grip of the Houston Texans, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to say real in a couple of ways. I still believe the Texans are going to win the division. That I have not changed off of that. I didn't have them winning this game against the Rams. I still have them winning the division. I do believe these teams are closer. I will agree with that with you. I do believe these teams are closer, and I mean all of them. I didn't think that was going to be a ball game in the last minutes for the Denver Broncos against the Titans at home. I did not think that. So they competed pretty well against Denver on the road, a lot better than I thought they would. And I know Tyler how he feels about Jacksonville. Jacksonville, they ran the ball all over the Panthers. Not only the Panthers are good, but they beat the hell out of them 27-10. And then obviously we saw what the Colts did. Now, again, the Dolphins and the Panthers look like they're going to be two really bad teams, so I'm not changing off of that. But I do think, as you said, Clint, those teams are tighter. All right, real or fake, Tyler, the Bills and the Ravens, they showed that they're the two best teams in football. Real or fake, the Bills and the Ravens, the two best teams in football.
Well, I think Rodgers and the Steelers would have something to say about that. I mean, the defense needs to shore up for Mike Tomlin. But no, I, after 1 week, I mean, there aren't many up there with them besides maybe the Steelers. I mean, they put on a show week one, hell of a show. It's hard to say no that they are not the superpower right now in the AFC and in the NFL.
All right, real or fake, the Ravens and Bills, they played 41-40, the two best teams in football, real or fake?
Golly, man. I enjoy it. I want to say real because I think they're probably the two best teams in the AFC. But, boy, you can't look at that and go, hey, man, I mean, defense just doesn't matter. I mean, they got to play some level of defense. I just got to believe that output, that production
changes. And this is the
changes.
League, too. This NFL, yeah, overall. Yeah.
But I just got to believe versus, like, the Texans or, you know, even Kansas City's got a better defense. I thought those two teams had a better defense. But, yeah, I mean, I think right now, I mean, those two quarterbacks, really those two teams that can go and are that clutch in big moments, like in at least regular season big moments, I got to think that those are the two best teams in football right now. I don't know, man. The Eagles?
I'm going to say fake.
I thought you said AFC.
In the league. I'm going to say fake. I think right now, just as you said, man, we got to play defense, right?
Yeah.
And many cases, it just looked easy. Now, I understand Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry are difficult, right? But they got everything they wanted. And Josh is difficult. But, I mean, I think to me the Eagles and the Packers are maybe playing better than those guys. The Packers look really good on both sides of the ball. And so I would say fake on that. As you said, man, yeah, they played 41-40. They played an exciting game. But damn it, 41-40, man. Like, at some point, man, I mean, we just can't give up 15 points that easy. Right? Like, that was that easy. So they got to go back to the drawing board. I would say the Packers and the Eagles, I would put probably ahead of both of them right now. All right, coming up as we continue, that was a little real or fake. Some news. Injury front, some good. There is a returning member to the staff, and we'll let you know the rest of the guys that are trying to get back for the Astros. And there's some early news about a player that could be on the move in the NFL. The Texans' name hasn't been kind of connected with him yet, but should it be? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
An hour from now, you will be able to hear D'Amico Ryans in full as he spoke to the media today. Usually we don't do this a lot, but I think there's some real things. I think hearing that in full to kind of respond and react to the loss to the Rams heading into the Bucs game and just some of the things that came out of the post game. I think that's something you really, really don't want to miss. That's coming up an hour from now. Also, remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. In the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. You can win those coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, some news on the injury front with the Houston Astros, Clint and Tyler. JP France, the Eiffel Tower, he's back. Potentially. He is in Toronto. Potentially. I just want to make sure until we really hear it. He is in Toronto and expected to join the Astros active roster during this series against the Blue Jays, source tells The Athletic. France has been working out of the bullpen at AAA Sugarland and provides the Astros with another multi-inning relief option. So I kind of like the thought of, hey man, you're coming up here and we understand the gig. You understand the gig. You're going to be pitching out of the bullpen. Like, we're going to try to get another option there to see if you can be really effective. He has traditionally been a starter and was really good for the Astros a couple of years ago. And then he, you know, obviously had the injury to the shoulder. But he is going to flat be an addition in the bullpen, not in the rotation. So, JP France, been a while since we've seen him with those white glasses. He's back.
Very, very welcomed. Welcomed help, if you will. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll see what he brings to the table. But good to have him back. I mean, look, we are in no position to doubt or minimize any level of help that's headed our way, whether it's the starting rotation or the bullpen. So I am as stoked as I can be about JP France getting back in the mixer.
Yeah. All right. Here's updates on others there.
Get your CVS receipt.
Here we go. Caleb Hort, he had the right elbow inflammation. Let's start with the inflammation news. He had the right elbow inflammation, currently not throwing, is scheduled to transition to Florida this week. Another inflammation issue. There is Brandon Walter. He had the left elbow inflammation. He is scheduled to undergo surgery on his left elbow and will not return this season. Let's go left hand inflammation. Zach DiCenzo, these nuts, currently rehabbing in Florida after being pulled from a rehab assignment due to a right elbow sprain. So hopefully Zach gets back at it. Spencer Arrighetti, staying with the inflammation. He had the right elbow inflammation. He is scheduled, Clint, to receive a second opinion on his right elbow this week.
We'll get into little funk.
We'll see about that. And I obviously not throwing. Josh Hader had the left shoulder issue. He is rehabbing in Houston, Clint. Currently still not throwing. And then Isak Paredes, another one of the guys that's out. He is currently working out in Florida, going through hitting, running, and defensive progression. So he is really trying to get back. We saw him on the field at the Daikin last week taking grounders at third base. So he is trying to get back winning. It seemed like he was out for maybe the year. And then Bennett Sousa also in that bullpen. His is not elbow inflammation. It's a flexor strain. He is rehabbing it in Florida, but still currently not throwing.
Yeah, look, obviously Spencer and Josh.
God, man.
Spencer and Josh are the two big. I'm going to tell you, I mean, maybe this is because of what's going on with the Astros, but I mean, on that list, Bennett Sousa and Caleb Ort are the two that really stick out to me. I think it's a shot in the dark whether Josh Hader ever pitches this year. 2025, yeah. And really, those other two guys, Ort and Sousa, could they are really – could really help this bullpen right now. So yeah. Those are the two guys that I'm banking on.
Yeah, and guys that, I'll be honest with you, were pitching pretty well, especially for –
at least gave you a shot.
Yeah, and then when you combine that with the issues of Josh Hader, you're trying to get it to Brian Abreu. And we had Roflo on, Robert Flores of MLB Network. We had him on, and it was clear, like, he was saying the same thing. Hey, the problem is trying to get it to Brian Abreu. Mm-hmm. We believe he can close. That is the challenge for them. All right, that is the latest there with the Astros. They will get started in Toronto behind Luis Garcia as he makes the start tonight. Clint, this is rolling around, and based off what we saw from the offense, and obviously there's some injuries there with Christian Kirk and other things, but there was a lack of explosion, and clearly it could grow with some growth of your young guys, Higgins and Noel. They could really take another step up in this. But I saw Mike Florio of Pro Football Focus.
Rock and roll, man.
Talk about this. After we saw what happened week one, Tyreek Hill is on track to be this year's Davante Adams, with a trade before the deadline seeming to be inevitable. For now, we're watching just two teams, the Chiefs and the Steelers. I'm asking you, and also understanding today it was just released from TMZ that his ex-wife, who he just got divorced with in April, is accusing him of domestic violence. Clearly and obviously not his first rodeo in this thing. But in the report, it says they don't even know if they are charging him with anything. It is just in the report. Do you think the Texans are at a place where they should be checking in on that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I can't look at this as the 2025 Davante Adams. I look at this as more. What year was that Antonio Brown ran off the field?
You got him in the Antonio Brown.
Yeah, ran out. What year was that, Tom? And everybody in Tampa tried to give him another shot and try to take care of him, and he ends up just running off the field, acting a fool, making a clown out of all of them. Yeah, I think it's closer to AB than it is Davante Adams. So no, I think that the Texans are in a position. I think D'Amico and Nick have done a great job building this roster, and could withstand bringing in a suspect individual, if you will, that doesn't necessarily fit the mold. And be able to survive it for a season or half a season, but not this guy. This guy's, I mean, it's getting arrested on the way to the ballparks. It's getting, you know, wives, you know, are always, you know, there's always some kind of legal issue going on with him. He seems like he is literally on the verge every time I watch him of going crazy. I'm out on Tyreek Hill. The twitch, the speed was with the Texans, I'm out on that.
Text line, no Tyreek for us. No, they won't. He's got too much off-field baggage. They got one person they're dealing with right now when it comes to off-field baggage that they're rolling with. Black Greg, no, that ain't the route the Texans need to go. That's a dumpster fire waiting to happen. I'm going to say, on paper, I think he's a lot of what they need. I think, as you said, the explosion in Twitch. I'll be honest, Clint. I think I'd have felt different a year ago. I do right now. I think it's a recipe for potential disaster. Just we're seeing it right now. I mean, there's it seems like they're not all on the same page right now. And boy, Tyreek Hill with a rookie play caller and a young quarterback. It doesn't sound like a recipe, even though on the field, the lack of explosiveness that this offense seems to lack, he would really help. I don't know that I feel like they're set up to handle that. To handle that right now.
Yeah, I don't think they're set.
I don't know if he'll be running off the field with his clothes off, but he would roll through, I think, a lot of the guys that are
Yeah, it's just a risk that's not worth taking right now. Not this early in the season. I mean, if you put together a halfway decent season, you get to a point late where you got a chance to make a run to a Super Bowl, and it's like you just need more playmaking ability on the offensive side of the football, and it's a month, 6 week type deal, and he's available, and these legal issues have fallen by the wayside. Then maybe for a short period of time, but right now, 17, 18 weeks, nah. I'm all set. I mean, Christian Kirk's not been back. You've got, not that Christian Kirk is Tyreek Hill by any means, but you know, you got some pieces coming back that should help you get better than what we saw this past week. I wouldn't panic to the Tyreek Hill level yet if I were them. No.
Yeah, I just don't think it's the best fit moving forward. I do think he will get moved. I definitely think that is. I mean, unless the Dolphins really spin this thing around, I think he and Mike are gone by the middle of the year. And I don't know that it's set up right there for them to take that on. All right. What you got coming up at the 4?
I watched a little film, baby. It's Tape Drop Tuesday. And we got some things we need to cuss and discuss, man. There's some changes that need to be made. And we got to talk about them. We got to talk about them, and it's all based on the film. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.